Psalms 50. All right, we will have testimonies, but I wanted to have the message here. All right, Psalms 50, if you're able to stand, let's look at this one particular verse, and kind of refreshing my mind this afternoon about the pilgrims. And, you know, after that long, very, very difficult journey and the amazing hand of God upon them in that journey on the Mayflower, the first thing they did is thank the Lord. They thanked the Lord. Before they disembarked, they had put together what we call the Mayflower Compact. And you understand that their purpose, one of their primary purposes, was to glorify God and extend the Christian faith. That was the purpose. Amen. And they're the first English colony that actually was able to be sustained. There was a colony in Roanoke and in Jamestown that didn't make it. But they came with different motives. These people came with the motive to glorify God with hearts of gratitude, in spite of the first winter, half of their party died. And yet they were still thankful. Well, we've come a long ways, haven't we? And if we don't remind ourselves of history, we could repeat it in a bad way. But we as God's people need to be mindful of the goodness of God on us, and certainly as Americans. Verse 14, David said, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." You can just title it, "Offer unto God thanksgiving." I am just going to give you a topical study, Bible study, on the idea of gratitude and thanksgiving. Some of this you have heard, some of this you may have forgotten, but inevitably when we're done, I hope that it ministers to you the way it did to me. It helps my heart to think right when I understand the biblical concept of gratitude. So let's pray. Lord, may you bless the message, and Father, we are very thankful. We are thankful, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to die in our place. We are thankful for the love of God that was manifest through the cross. We are thankful for the grace that you have shown us individually and how the Spirit of God touched us and woke us up and helped us to see our need. Often people will say, "I found the Lord," but we really know it was you who found us. We're thankful for the many people you have used in our lives to be a light, a testimony, even a red flag of warning. And yet, as believers, it's our turn, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would use this time to edify, help, and strengthen, and prepare our hearts, Lord, for real worship, and real praise, real fellowship. And so bless us, meet with us, help me to speak. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know what's interesting is you read through your Bible, and I know many of you have read through the Bible, how often we are commanded to be thankful. God has to command us to be thankful. But it makes sense because many of us, that's one of the first things we have to teach our children. Now, be thankful. Be thankful. Y'all remember that. Nothing worse than your kids getting something and they walk away and you want them to be thankful, so you tell them to be thankful. And as a child, sometimes it's kind of weird, you know, the child goes back, "Thank you," and they want to enjoy the gift or whatever it is. And it's like you look down, you know they're little children. But I wonder if God sees that kind of thanks from us, we just go through the motions. "Oh, thank you," and we move right on with not a whole lot of thought into it. So it is commanded, this idea of being thankful, offering unto God thanksgiving. It is commanded. It is the will of God. You're familiar with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. God's word says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you want to know how to get in the will of God, that is one area that you can all practice immediately, is be thankful. If you want to get, by the way, that's the best place for a Christian to be, is in the will of God. Not only does it tell us it is the will of God, but it tells us when to be thankful. In everything. Not just when you have gifts, not just when you have family celebrations, but even in difficult times, even in hard times. In everything, not necessarily about everything, but in everything, give thanks. There is always something to be thankful for in everything. In everything. Third thing I notice about this, and this will not be exhaustive, but just things to get us hopefully mindful of the biblical concept of gratitude. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And then the next passage tells us to be thankful. It tells us to be thankful. It is part of being filled with the Spirit. Anybody that is Spirit-filled will naturally be thankful. It's going to bubble over. So this morning I had too much coffee in my cup, and I had so much coffee in my cup, it bubbled over. But the reality was, and I didn't make too much of a mess, but it just made me mindful that that's the child of God that is so aware of the blessings of God in their life, it ought to just naturally bubble over. It ought to. So it's a spiritual practice, behavior. And according to Luke chapter 17, it glorifies God. You're familiar with the story of the 10 lepers. They cried out to Jesus, Lord, help us, help us. And the Lord said, healed them all. He said, go to the priest. All 10 of them were healed, but only one returned to give thanks. And Jesus said, where are the 9 to give glory to God? Being thankful glorifies God. When we praise the Lord for our salvation, when we praise the Lord for anything, when we thank God for the hands we have, the eyes we have, ears we have, the ability to taste and eat, and we're being thankful. We're glorifying God. Not only that, we're to pray with thanksgiving. When you go to God asking Him for something, we're to be thankful. We're to express gratitude concerning things that we've already received from God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You see, if a child goes to a parent and they continue to ask for things, but they never say thank you for the last things that were given, you know, they might get the door shut. Or if they go to the boss and continue to ask for things, but never show gratitude, eventually they might lose those privileges and liberties that they had. God says, do you remember the last thing I gave you? I wonder if maybe a lot of people have so many ups and downs in their Christian life is because when God blesses them, they forget to be thankful. And so God says, well, I just have to let you sink again. I don't know for sure, but we appreciate things when we lose them. Colossians 4:2 tells us the same thing. Continue in prayer and watchfulness with thanksgiving. So prayer and thanksgiving are coupled together throughout the Scripture. And we understand that. That ought to make sense. But it is biblical. It is the means of entering God's presence. Psalms 100, verse 4. We're to enter His courts with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. According to Jonah chapter 2, it's interesting. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And when you come to the end of the chapter, the very end of that chapter, he's been in the belly of the whale 3 days, 3 nights. And the Bible said he remembered his vows and he offered unto the Lord the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the last verse says, and the Lord caused the whale to vomit him out. I don't think that's an accident. I believe Thanksgiving is a way to get over some, experience some deliverance. Maybe somebody has a problem with depression. Maybe they feel like they're living with a cloud over their head. I'm telling you, gratitude can help you in that. Grateful people are contented people. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to be thankful to God and yet on the other end be discontented. It's just a difficult thing to manage both. Grateful people are content. Grateful people are usually, they're easy to get along with. They usually have a desire to show thankfulness to others when receiving a kindness as well. Somebody who has a thankful heart, and if they've received a kindness, they at least have a desire. And I'm sure they try to show gratitude if you have a grateful heart. Grateful people are thoughtful people. We use the words interchangeably, don't we? Boy, that was thoughtful. What are we saying there? Thankful. We use them interchangeably. They think. Now let me mention this very quickly. People become ungrateful when? This will not be exhaustive either, but it may cause us to consider our ways. People become ungrateful when they feel they deserve all that they have, or at least they feel they've earned all that they have. Now here's the deal. I don't believe God is against you and I feeling good about working hard and earning things. But here's the problem. If we forget who gave us the strength, if we forget who gave us the ability, if we forget who gave us the opportunity, we forgot the main thing, did we not? But people become ungrateful when they forget, when they begin to feel like they deserve all they have. It's owed to me. We're living in a society like that. Oh, just because I live in America, it's owed to me. I should have free college tuition. No, they're only saying that to get your vote. That's all. People become ungrateful when they're not satisfied with what God has given them. Oh, they start looking around and they see somebody who has more than they have. Now God's been good to them, but now they see somebody who has more. And oh, covetousness begins to take over. And they lose their gratitude for what they had. It's no longer more about Jesus. It's more about me. Y'all hearing me? By the way, your heart and my heart is not it's not beyond this. This can be in our heart. It probably has. I know it has for me. You see, they're not satisfied with what God has given them. The covetousness, it makes them discontent. And basically what they're saying is, God, and they, because they quit thinking, what has happened is they're now basically, in a sense, saying God is not enough. The verse that came to my mind last night as I was thinking about the service this evening, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Why? Because he has said, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So what's Jesus saying? What's the Word of God saying to us? It's telling us, well, when I become ruled by covetousness, I'm saying, Lord, you're not enough. You're not enough. I forgot. You know, the disciples never went without, did they? As long as Jesus was with them. They're not pleased with what they have. Oh, boy. And they look out and they look back and they say, well, how come I didn't get this? And they lose the attitude of gratitude, or it's gone because They're in comparison mode. You see, it would help you if you understood this. It would help you if you understood John chapter 3, verse 27. John the Baptist said this. John the Baptist, when his disciples came back and said, Rabbi, that man that you baptized, he's baptizing more people than you now. And John the Baptist said, well, he must increase and I must decrease. And then but before that he said, no man can receive anything except it be given him from God. We would be served well to understand everything we have, whether it's sight, hearing, hands, the ability to think, our gifts, our weaknesses, whatever, everything we have, God has given it to us. The relationships, the friendships, the people in our family, the children, everything we have, God has given to us. It'd be wise for us to understand that. Well, from the material things to the relationships, everything. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, it tells us, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no changing, nor shadow of turning. Every good gift and perfect gift. So here's a fellow that says, that guy's got more than me. I'd like to get a bigger boat. I'd like to get a bigger house. I'd like to be able to live on that side of the road. I'd like to have a bigger lawn. I'd like to have this and that. And listen, I'm not saying that having those things are wrong, but we got to be careful that we're not ruled by covetousness and that doesn't rob the gratitude that we ought to be offering to God. Because what we have, God has given us. It's as though sometimes people forget that, you know, certainly when it comes to his people, he'll give you what he can trust you with. He'll give you what he can trust you with. You know, the fact of the matter is, it's very possible he wants to give you more. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Rather than covet and have a problem there, why don't you call unto God? See, if we're praying the way we ought to, we'll have the peace of God in our heart. Here's another reason people become ungrateful. I already said, one, they become ungrateful because they feel they deserve all that they have. Two, they're not satisfied with what they have. Three, they've lost something that was dear. Now that's a difficult area, is that not a difficult area? They've lost something that was dear. To maintain the attitude of gratitude after losing something that was dear, whether it's health, whether it's material, or whether it's relationship. Who do we learn from? I tell you, Job is our example. Is he not our example? What did he say? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. We're not making light of anybody's losses, not at all, but I'm telling you, do not lose the heart of gratitude. Do not. And certainly as believers, we don't have to sorrow as those without hope. But I've seen people get bitter when they lose things. I've seen people turn from God, and I've seen people become reclusive. I've seen people get upset at all the people around, become cynical after they lose things. And I'm not just talking about relationship things. They might lose a house, or they lose a job, or maybe their health, and all of a sudden they get cynical over to God. They forgot where they came from. Over and over, God tells Israel, don't forget where you came from. Over and over and over. I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt, God says. Over and over. They quit thinking about where they came from. If you cease to be thankful, it's because you quit thinking about God's goodness to you. You know, I need to turn to this passage real quick in 2 Chronicles, if you want to take a look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I think we have there's scores of examples in the Bible of people who were grateful and people who were ungrateful. Certainly those in the Bible that were most used of God, those in the Bible who were most used of God were grateful people. people. David said in Psalms 30, the very last verse, said he will be thankful forever to the Lord. But in 2 Chronicles 26, we read about a king. He was a great king for a while. His name was Uzziah. As a matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5, the Bible says, "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah." So obviously God wants us to know there was a man who had a positive influence on him, who reminded him of the things of God and his need to depend upon the Lord. He said, "In the days of Zechariah, Uzziah sought the Lord." We come down to verse 15, and there's much to be read there between the two verses, but how God has exalted his kingdom. But in verse 15, the Bible says, "And he made," this is the king, "and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped." But the verse doesn't stop, does it? Are you looking at your Bible? "He was marvelously helped till he was strong." Sometimes we get to a point in our life, we just forget where we came from. And we forget who got us where we are. Uzziah had that issue. God had blessed him and blessed the kingdom. God had insulated them from foreign enemies and even domestic enemies. But the one enemy that Uzziah quit fighting was the enemy within. I got to believe he lost the attitude of gratitude. It's obvious here, because when you cease to be thankful, you cease to be thoughtful. Verse 16, the Bible says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his" what? Ladies and gentlemen, dear child of God, because you're born with the sin of Adam in you, you and I are vulnerable to the very thing Uzziah is vulnerable to. Amen. And that is why it's so very important that we learn how to be deliberately grateful and thankful and take time to be thankful. I do respect your time. Coming out on a Tuesday night, that means a lot. That is a testimony of gratitude. The very fact you want to be in the house of God with the people of God, I believe, is a testimony of your gratitude to the Lord. I truly believe that. But be careful. You don't get to the point where you say, "Boy, I just want to check in and check out. Just put my time in, leave. We need the fellowship of God's people. We do. This man would end up dying as a leper. A leper. He'd become presumptuous, and he would walk into the temple and take the role of a priest, and it was not his role. And even the priest told him, "You need to get out." But he was going to presumptuously take upon him somebody else's responsibility that wasn't his. And immediately his hand, the leprosy began to rise. Actually, it was his forehead. And the priest saw it take place, and they pushed him out. And when he recognized it, he himself, the Bible says, hustled on out of the temple. He had just been plagued because of his own ingratitude. Now here's a man that enjoyed both ends, the blessings of God, while he was dependent, while he was a thankful man. But now, well, I must have earned it. I must have earned it. I deserve it. And when you start acting like that, when you lose the attitude of gratitude, Romans 1:21 takes place. Take a look at Romans 1:21. Some of you are familiar with it. That's fine. Let's look at it again. Romans 1:21. So when we come into the book of Romans, the first three chapters deal with the fall of man and the need for man to be redeemed. We do not have the ability to redeem ourselves. But we see the process unfold here. As a matter of fact, look at verse 18. Let's begin at verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. We're talking about people who knew God. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every man will give an account for the knowledge God has given them.
Amen.
Every man. I don't care if they tell you till they're blue in the face, I don't believe in God. God will call them to an account. Now, it's very possible at that stage in their life, they've hardened themselves so far that they have absolutely lost sight and the ability to acknowledge God. And they're sincere, but there was a time in their heart they had to resist. They had to resist the truth that God revealed to them. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, look at this. Does this not speak of Uzziah? They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. I know there's more, but that is the first thing that takes place. You know, but you're not thankful. You know, we can show thanks to God in a number of ways. We show thanks to God with our mouth. Speaking it, telling Him personally, thank you. That means a lot. Let's not be like the little child who's forced to say thank you and really doesn't have a clue what they mean, what they're saying. We ought to know. We can show thankfulness with money and giving. They did in the Old Testament. We can show thankfulness with service. With service, serving the Lord, being involved in the work of the Lord. You know, every time you hand out a gospel tract, in a way it's saying, thank you, Jesus. Now, you may be concerned, and you ought to be concerned about the loss, but the reality is, if you want to say thank you to the Lord, try to bring other people to Christ. See, I don't know if this is you or not, but I know in my own heart, it's hard for me to love everybody in the world or in town. It's hard for me to love everybody I see the way I love my family. Maybe you're the same way. Isn't it easier to pray for lost family members and be burdened about lost family members and people you know real well than it is people you don't know? Isn't it? So what's to motivate us to witness to the others? What's to keep us handing out gospel tracts when I don't know those people? I'll tell you what. Gratitude for the Lord.
Amen.
Thankfulness for your own salvation.
Amen.
Thankfulness for His grace in your life, for the people He used to get your attention with the gospel. That ought to motivate you. And they may never receive Christ on your watch, but you're saying, thank you, Lord, and God will use that. Our witness. Our desire to help others. When it seems most difficult, oh, here's how we can show thankfulness. And I believe this is when the devil came to the Lord the first time and said, after the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? The devil said, doesn't Job, and I'm going to paraphrase, Job's serving you because of what you give him and all that he has. And God would let the devil see that Job understands who gave him what he has. And Job will be thankful either way. What a hard lesson. But no wonder he made it through. No wonder he was able to get through the great test. The pilgrims didn't wait to have all the luxuries of England before they decided to give God thanks. We are a very spoiled people here in America, are we not? I mean, we're easily indulged, filled with entertainment and pleasures of this world as Christians. We get upset if the sermon goes 1 minute longer than it should. Well, if the guy's boring, I understand. I'm telling you. But the reality is, the very fact we assemble together around his word, we sing these songs, that is one way of saying thank you, but there are so many other ways. May God help us all. Obviously, we have this day of the year to set aside, to really, really acknowledge the idea of being thankful, but it certainly ought to be a part of our character throughout the year. Amen. It ought to be what the people at work see in your life, the attitude of gratitude. Amen. It ought to be what your kids, what your wife, what your husband sees in your life, an attitude of gratitude. It ought to be what your neighbors see. It certainly ought to be what God sees. Father, I love you and I thank you for your word. May the Holy Spirit help us as we get ready to share some prayer promises. And I pray that you'd bless the remainder of the service as we would sing and share some testimonies. We love you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.